It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day from Phoenix, Arizona, here at the beautiful FreedomsPhoenix.com studios. Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, P-H-O-E-N-I-X. Well, how's that gold thing working out for you? Let me tell you what the new bottom is. It's 1,040. It goes below 1,040. China be buying some gold. And what is it for silver? Probably 1740. And you can see this happen. One thing we had on Freedom's Phoenix, you go to Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, and there was a regular thing that I would put up. It goes, today, another day to watch, another day to watch, another day to watch. And then there were links to things like the Dow, the S&P, London Stock Exchange, gold, silver. And one thing that was other of interest to some, uber-rich boys that are supporters that wanted to make sure I put on there was the 30-year Treasury. Now, the yields on the 30-year Treasury, they explained to me how that is a, one thing doesn't happen over here unless it happens there. And when you start seeing that going down, you're going to know that the end is nigh. And as long story why, but let's go take a look at it. 30-year Treasury bond. Let's go. Ooh, it's starting to go down, plummeting. And this is, and you look back in January of 2009, it went down to almost 2.5%, and it's been at a high of like 4.7% return on the Treasury bills. Now, and get all complicated why that has an effect, because these are Treasury bills that have been sold way back when. A lot of these, some of these, a long time ago, 8%. I remember when the United States government, they're freaking out, man, back in 1990, 91 in there. We got $5 billion a month that we have to get debt on just to pay the interest. How do we get that? Well, that was Japan and West Germany at the time and Pacific Rim and all that kind of stuff. It's China now. So they milked them for everything they're worth. And it's that's where Perot came in 92 going, we have this long-term debt that we're financing short-term. We're doing 3 and 5 year on these with 8% interest that we're doing for something long. They're going to have to roll it over. And here, look at my chart. Can it finish? We're screwed. Well, that's what he was talking about. That's what all this was going on. Then you had the assault on the militias. All these people are getting all ornery. You had George W. got up there in 88 and said, read my lips, no new taxes. Then he raises taxes. Then you have all this, militia, kind of this Tea Party thing that's going on right now. Okay? So what they did is they go like this. They say, no, we're not going to pay. We don't want to pay. You guys are bad. Unconstitutional, spendthrifts, you promised, you pinky sweared, and now you're a bad guy. So they go, really? Well, the BATF need a nice little fundraiser and wanted to expand the police state, and we got all our slaves under control on the plantation, so we're going to increase gun control laws. Now, let me tell you what was going on. This is when I first started getting started in activism, politics, and so on, and this is an interesting story. I want you to pay attention to this so you understand how it dovetails into what's going on now. You have a country that at the time, the SNL scandal had just that same kind of stuff. Banks just, it goes, there's so many of these that happen. It's cyclical. How much can we steal? What happened was you have the savings and loan got deregulated under Reagan, but they did it in the worst way you could possibly do it. we are going to deregulate and let you guys do whatever you want with this money that before it was very heavily regulated. You could only have deposits that were given, you know, by savings. You got a little past. How many people have a savings account now? You know, they even exist. So you have a savings account. You got a paltry, you know, 3% return. So they get, and then they go loan it out at 7-8% or whatever. Somebody go buy a house. It's like, it's a wonderful life. It's Jimmy Stewart. You know, that's what he did. You know, we take people's money and then we lend it out for other people in the houses and, you know, we're all family. But what happened was they deregulated and said, you guys can do whatever you want. Now, here in Arizona, they had the Keating Five. You know, Charles Keating, they're building the Phoenician for gazillions of dollars and gold-plated toothbrushes, disposable in every room kind of stuff, right? How did they do that? They take all these investments, you know, people are putting in savings and loans and so on, and they are unregulated in how that they're lending these out. In fact, they became their own developers in a place called Estrella out here. They had lakes out in the middle of the desert. They're building it up. Hey, you know, anybody that can fill out a form, you know, like now, remember, last couple of years, this is what's going on. You fill this out, boom, you got the loan. You're approved. Oh, guess what? We were the bank that approved the loan to our developer, and we got in these people's savings, and it went to, oh, yeah, us. Thank you very much for playing. Okay. Whether they could pay it back or not, they didn't care. Why? Because the FDIC guaranteed $100,000 of the loan. So as long as they structure it in blocks like that, you know, taxpayers are going to get nailed for this thing. So they go ahead and then they had the kind of problems and regulations and they're going to be checking on and so on. And then he had, you know, like Senator DeConcini and McCain and some others. And that's what they called the Keating Five. You know, make the regulators go away. You know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Don't worry about it. You know, we're having fun with your money. Don't worry about it. But what happened was this all starts breaking down. The SNL scandal comes in. They take all these assets. They put them in a thing called Resolution Trust Corporation. And instead of just auctioning stuff out individually where you get to go out and, hey, I want to bid on that. You know, hey, I'll pay you $50,000 for that, whatever. And they go, no, it's part of this $100 million package that only our buddies can get. And then probably, you know, they got a lot less for this $100 million package. You know, they probably could have got $300 million for it, but not a lot of us got $100 million walking around money in our pocket. See what I mean? They're going to do it again. Now, that was a dry run. That was a little baby thing. That was like, I don't know, it was some ungodly number back then of $600 billion, $700, $800, whatever. A lot. Well, that ain't nothing. Oh, now, man, they got down to art now. And we'll get into that in a little bit. What happened at that time is the debt that they needed on a federal level, there was no confidence. Just like now, you know, they're threatening to go to a basket of currencies as the reserve currency for the world. We're going to abandon the dollar. The petrodollar is not going to be. Heck, they did a movie called Rollover back in 80, 81 that was all about the Mideast just abandoning the dollar and the whole Western world come crashing down. You know, they had stars and stuff in there. Man, you didn't hear a lot about that, did you? Just go Rollover movie on a YouTube. Boom, there'll be, and you'll see them all talking about it. It's big buzz right now because it's going, man, did they predict what's going on now? Because it was a threat back then, too. It's all perception. It's all about how we can, you know, yeah, it's good as gold, the dollar is, because we got M16 in your head. We say so. So now we're in a situation to where it's early 90s. They need this debt. It's getting bad. And I just started getting involved, and I was, that's a long story. I had someone I knew that was on DeConcini's staff back in Washington. They're saying, man, they were freaking out. How are we going to do this? Well, the big boys that push buttons and print money, you know, they always knew they were going to get taken care of. Don't worry about it. What happens is now they need to convince these people to invest in America. You're going broke. Get the big SNL scandal. You raise taxes when you promised you weren't. You got these guys going around, you know, yelling militia and we got guns. And you just had a revolution. That's how America got started. You took on the most powerful entity in the known universe, save God, the British Empire. And we're thinking like they might do it again. Why the heck am I going to give you money? Heck no. So they had to convince them. Here comes, you know, the Brady Bill. You know, then you get the assault weapons ban. And you get that we got our boys under control. So all of this stuff, and how I know this is in the 1993-94 election cycle in there, we did an initiative here in Arizona that was called Unrestricted Concealed Carry. Now, unrestricted concealed carry, it was just our state constitution is very clear. It doesn't allow for any restrictions. You know, it's, you know, very clear. It says, you know, thou shalt not be infringed and, oh, yeah, and it shall not be infringed. I mean, it's really clear. And when they did this state constitutional convention, they made it clear that when they tried to regulate it, they put a vote up, an amendment. Yeah, but except here. And they go, nope, no regulation. Made it very clear in the state constitutional convention, the legislature has no power to regulate at all. So, of course, they do. But we did an initiative that would change the law back to what it was constitutionally, the unrestricted concealed carry. Because you can have open carry here at that time, and now you got to have permit. But this is what prompted the permit. Within a few months, we'd have like six across, eight deep everywhere we went, you know, the petition signatures. They were just, man, they wanted, you know, unrestricted concealed carry, and the government went, woo, man, we need to do something. Man, the slaves are uprising. So they passed the permit process. And, of course, we challenged that. We don't want a permit. We're not going to ask the man to defend against a man with a permit. So there was a reason why that threatened them. This gun control thing had a financial incentive behind it. Very interesting. When you come back, I'll tell you all about it.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Hey, welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. I'm going to give you a whole bunch of reasons to declare your independence. I mean, you know, the revolution's between the ears. Now, and if they think you got to go, you know, get a special card or fill out a government form or go somewhere to be kind of, hey, man, I just, you know, I'm good. You know, and then that's thinking. You know, it's all about just, look, I understand. You know what? I claim ownership of, me. Can I do that? I belong to me. You know, once you start from that base, if we can have that, if I put my hand on your shoulder and say, whose life is this? And you can say it's mine. You know, then we got something to talk about. If you're going, no, it belongs to the state or someone else or this guy, or, you know, then, you know, what's the point of even having a conversation? I'm good. You know, yes. Let me know how that works out. Now, where we left off is that in 1994, it started, you know, something, we're young activists, we're in our 20s, we're kids, we're, you know, we just understand, I didn't even own a gun. And we had done a lot of initiatives. We had a newspaper called Citizens Take an Initiative. And all it was an opportunity for us to go, look, if we were in charge, if we were legislators, these are the kind of bills that we would be introducing. So we just write them up and do them. Then we found out about a third of them became bills, and a couple of them became really popular, and they took them on and so on, because they're lazy. They're just, you know, they don't care whether it goes through or not. The only thing they're putting through is what some lobbyist told them to get some special interest, some cash. But if they got, you know, we make the people all love me by doing this, I'm all over it. You know, that's what they do. So we found out that all of a sudden, a lot of these bills would, you know, these initiatives that we would write and file with Secretary of State so that we can go get signatures, or, you know, whether we even got signatures or not. You got your government number they report on. Then people go, ooh, I like that one. I want to do that one. That one's for me. You know, you do away with a property tax. Ooh, that was a popular one. Do away with the personal property tax. You have things like citizens grand jury. You know, 5,000 signatures, they do this in Oklahoma. Boom, you bring the boy in, say, no, no, we're going to have an investigation on you. People call the grand jury. You have a fully informed jury amendment. You know, you say, look, we want to make sure the jury knows they can just say not guilty if they think the law sucks, whether they're guilty or not. You know, we want to have, separation of child and state. You know, no requirement for public education or something. Or we want, and one of them was concealed carry. You know, so we said, look, we want to be able to take away that restriction. Well, what happened was we created a PAC, a political action committee that you had to when you do this stuff, and it was called SAFE, Second Amendment is for Everyone. You know, somebody came up with it. Yeah, you know, because they thought it was cool. Cool. Got it. Done. Well, you remember the MIAC report? You know, Missouri's information, whatever the thing was. And you had the Southern Poverty Law Center going, ooh, the militias on the email. All these militias are terrible militias. They made a list. Working with the Anti-Defamation League, you know they must be anti-Semitic because they have guns or something. I mean, I don't know what their logic was, but they went and they made a list of every state, and they go, well, here, is there a militia in this state? Well, Arizona was the first state, you know, I guess with an A in it, that had, they listed SAFE, Second Amendment for Everyone, and it had my name on it because I was, you know, chairman of the PAC. I didn't even have a gun. Think about it. I mean, I philosophically understood my father had guns. I grew up with guns, you know, but they're like, expensive. You know, when I go camping, if I need one, I just borrow one of my dad's. You know, I just, yeah, no big deal. Because I'm young. I'm like cheap. And feel big, giant need and poor. Yeah, my wife's like, and poor. Had a lot to do with it. So we go, so we file this on principle. You know, somebody needed to put their name on it. And we had like three dozen of these, 30-something of them, for these initiatives. So what happened was you have the Southern Poverty Law Center go in and they say, oh, see this guy, oh, there's the Arizona militia. Ooh, they're trying to do unrestricted concealed carry. They must be a militia. And that's a 28-year-old kid, you know, 30-year-old kid, how old I was in. And they go like this. They said, you know, we're going to go ahead and put them on this list of all these militias. Well, they sent that to every law enforcement around the country. Sheriff Joe Arpaio had just been elected in 92, I think, to be sheriff here. And I knew him on a campaign trail, and we crossed paths, and we knew each other fairly well. And he's got his own problems and issues. But, you know, we at least knew each other. He knew me to be sincere and, you know, not a threat. He calls me and he says, hey, Ernie, man, I got this list. You're on top of the list. Yeah. And I'm like, right on. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, what the heck does that even mean? And I'm going, wow, they just make this stuff up as they go along. So I go, okay. Well, he knew, you know, he made fun of it and, you know, blew it off. Now, what happened was, is I could see the rhetoric that was coming out of the Clinton administration and Janet Reno, okay, and Rahm Emanuel. Now, think about this. Rahm Emanuel, which is now chief of staff of Obama administration, and you have, he was senior political advisor to Clinton from 93 to 98. He was behind all of this stuff, amping up all the threat, domestic terrorism. We got to pass laws, domestic terror laws, this law, that law, whatever. They're going in and, you know, laying waste, you know, at Ruby Ridge with Randy Weaver shooting his wife and son, killing them. You know, then you had Waco. You know, and then Oklahoma City bombing, you know, a couple of years later that, you know, we're kind of still, that was kind of the World Trade Center of the day. There's more, you know, there's more charges in there. There's all kinds of conspiracies on that. And so, but we had a little bit different perspective because there was a guy named Rick Shiro, which was a BATF investigator that left saying, man, these guys have gone rogue before this happened. He was testified before Congress in Washington saying, man, these guys, you know, we knew that they're, you know, bad guys. And he was an expert witness for the British government that sued the United States and Texas down there because of Waco, because a couple of people that were killed in Waco were British subjects. So he's an expert witness on that. Well, they were on his case. I saw him one time at Sam's Club, you know, while this was going on, and he had grown a full beard and mustache and everything. He goes, hey, Ernie, what's up? You know, I'm going, Rick? What the heck, man? He goes, hey, man, I'm laying low. I'm in camouflage because damn. And he would give speeches before it got really heavy for him, you know, explaining what was going on, who was involved. I'm going, okay, there's something here. Well, what happened was this anti-militia thing was amping up. And all of a sudden it comes in Arizona in 96. There was the Viper Militia. I don't know, some of you might remember that. Well, I knew some of these guys. You know, one of them was a good friend of mine, did 5.5 years for conspiring to teach. All this stuff, they're going to blow up federal buildings, they're going this and that and everything. They said all this in the media, but they never charged them with that. It was all fictitious. It was all made up. So we had a thing called Viper Reserve. You know, we were out there going, look, we're just archiving all this information. You know, we're a bunch of libertarian computer geeks, man. We knew this internet thing was, you know, it archives everything forever. So you just type in Viper Reserve, you know, and all the stuff will come up. Because we knew something major was behind her, something else going on. All this threat, worry, scare, fear tactic kind of threat, domestic threat. From where? We're like, what is going on? Why are they doing this? Now, keep in mind, Janet Napolitano, which was Arizona State Governor, Attorney General, then State Governor, and now head of Homeland Security, was the prosecuting attorney on this Viper Militia thing. But she has a little extra history. It goes even before that. In the early 90s, there was a thing called ASCAM. ASCAM was a political corruption sting that they were doing. The county attorney here, you know, I don't know, to make a point or something. I mean, you know, like we didn't know this was already going on. But they had a informant guy that was offering all kinds of bribes if they would vote for legalizing gambling here. And so, and the legislators just lined up. I mean, they had to make an appointment. And one of the guys that got caught taking $4,000 on videotape was a guy named Al Stevens that was Senate Majority Leader here when the Democrats were in charge of the Senate at the time. And then all of a sudden, you know, he gets a defense attorney, criminal defense attorney, from one of the big political connected whatevers. And I guess he knows where the bodies are buried or something. Because then all of a sudden, the tape goes bad. Oh, I'm so sorry. You get to keep your $4,000. Oh, and by the way, I'm suing. I want my, you know, attorney fees paid for. Boom, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 or whatever goes to him. And there's a book that was on this whole thing. It was called What's in It for Me. If you go to ErnestHancock.com, we got a PDF of that in there. The author gave me the Word file when he put it up there. And what happened was you have in there the criminal defense attorney for this corrupt Democratic leader was Janet Napolitano. Then right from that, she becomes U.S. assistant attorney here in Arizona. Then she's prosecutor for the Viper militia thing, becomes attorney general, becomes governor, now heads Homeland Security. Now they're doing all this gun fear thing. It's the same people doing the same thing. Rahm Emanuel, Hillary Clinton, Janet Napolitano, you start to get it? I'll give you the connection when we come back. You stay tuned here on Declare Your Independence. Wow, you know you need to.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Less conversation, a little more action, please. All this aggravation ain't satisfaction in me. A little more fight, a little less fun. A little less fight, a little more spark. Close your mouth and open up your heart and maybe satisfy me.
Yeah, get satisfied here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day. You know, it's great to spend an afternoon with you all. I want to get you some information and entertain you. I mean, you know, it's not all gloom and doom. Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, the thing is that all we got to do is survive it. You know, one thing that we're doing, I mean, we're going to do a show on this. We've had other shows that I want to share with you about just being healthy. I mean, heck, it doesn't do you any good if you can't survive these SOBs. You know, I just, you know, can I survive them? Yeah, I want to survive them. Let's do that. Now, the one thing that I wanted to finish on is you have gun control, debt, China, government. They're all related, okay? And I wanted to finish the story so you understand my perspective and what we're building up, what's going on now. In the early 90s, you know, when you had Bush say, read my lips, no new taxes, people get all ornery. You have a lot of, you know, the SNL scandals and stuff's going on. You got, you know, Perot comes in about the debt and, you know, we're in the U.S. and going down and death and destruction and everything. And then you have these other, these foreign countries and corporations and so on. Why would they invest in America when they think the people are in revolt? No, by the way, they got guns. You know, how do you compete with that? You know, you have just the month this year. Just in the month of February and March, there were millions more guns sold each month than the entire Chinese and India army combined. You think they don't notice this? That's just what's on record. And then you couldn't get ammo for 7 months or even the components. It was just a couple of weeks, the last gun show that came here. I finally went. Somebody told me, they said, hey, they got primers. I mean, the little dot that goes in the back of the bullet because I reload. You know, I'm just going, okay. You know, 7 months, I finally get the primers. You know, I'm just going, what is going on? Well, we know what's going on, man. You know, people are, you know, acting in their own, what they perceive to be their own self-interest. You know, it's time to, you know, let's see. I got Campbell soup cans. I got, you know, okay, and a bunch of ammo. See my point? So they're going, yeah, you can't get away from that. You know, we don't care what you say, what your CNN, you know, news thing says. We don't care what Fox News or MSNBC or NBC, ABC, CBS, we don't care. You know, PBS, it doesn't matter. Where are they spending their money? What are they preparing for? How much dry goods are they buying? You know, I mean, generators. I mean, they know what to look for. You're Americans prepping up, man. So this was going on in the 90s, and this was before the internet, too. It was just getting started. And we started finding out about what was going on. What happened was, because I was on that list that they had put out, that gets, you know, picked up by everybody and their grandmother. I mean, you know, I had the Japanese version of 60 Minutes interviewing me. I had, because you're on top of the list, Arizona, man. You know, call him first. What the heck? Second Amendment is for everyone. That sounds good. Safe. And the way we did it is, are you a safe legislator or unsafe legislator? Are you a safe gun owner or an unsafe gun owner? You know, we had safe legislators because we had legislators that were, you know, advocate for our, you know, introduce the bill and everything. We call them a safe legislator. Safe city councilwoman, Francis Barwood. Legislator, he became a Speaker of the House later. We had, you know, were you safe or unsafe? We had safe gun shoots. We'd take candidates out and, you know, Democrat, little Democrat Congress women candidates. They're out there and they get to shoot a fully automatic M16. They're like, yeehaw, man, I got the power. You know, we were just having fun, but it gets you on the list. So then I have, in South Korea, they have like a version of Time Magazine or something. They interviewed me. I had a three-person camera crew from Germany that was with me in beginning of the early, see, it was February, I think it was, of 98, right? Donna, yeah, it was 98. They spent 5 days with me, go to church with me, went to the gun range. Go. I wouldn't talk to them unless they shot a firearm. I mean, it was traumatic for the girl, the interview. And she's like, oh, that was the Murgatroyd. I can't pull you. Oh, that wasn't that bad. I mean, you know, it's just, they're freaked out. So the thing is that, I think it's a big pressure on her because she just wanted to say she never fired a gun as if that was some trade or something, you know. But anyway, once you do it, you know, you get over it. Well, what happened was, why were they doing this? There's a lot of things, you know, where they, you know, the surveillance, you know, they're turning tapes over into this agency because they can't do domestic and, they, you know, kind of playing that game or whatever. I think the German guys, we were kind of worried about that, but we didn't care. You know, we were just, you know, telling the truth. We're just a bunch of libertarians. We know what the drill is. And the one thing that we really amped them up, we go, oh, you want to see our big gun? We'll go show you our big gun. We take them over to our friends. We get in, we show them some of our firearms that we have and so on. And then we go out to the garage. And we flipped on a switch and it goes, it was our printing press. We're sitting there printing out fully informed jury pamphlets. We go, you know, the Second Amendment, you know what that's for? It's protect the First Amendment. It's protect this printing press. That's what it's for. And they're like, ah, dang it, man. We hate when they make these kind of points. You know, fish on. But, you know, what happened was, is that it wasn't until the South Korean magazine came out. I had a pizza restaurant, you know, for about 5 years. And one of my drivers spoke Korean. Matter of fact, he was a Korean businessman. You know, he, you know, dealt in luggage and so on. But he, you know, worked part-time here to have cash flow when he was setting that up. You know, so he was a good guy. He was well-connected. And what happened was, he goes, he read it for me, and he goes, Ernie. You know, he's translating it, and it was very clear what it was. They were all concerned about the debt. This gun control, they don't care whether we got guns or not. They had nothing to do with it. They were worried about the ability of the United States government to make sure that the American people continue to pay taxes at an ever-increasing rate to service the bonds. That's what this was all about, and that's what it's about now. When they're doing all, talk about gun, here going to come gun control. You see 450 mayors petition Obama, you know, more gun control. You know, it's a lot more difficult now with the internet. Why? This whole thing is perception. They're trying to convince these other countries and people that fund our debt that they can continue to plunder us, that they can indebt us. Go ahead and invest. Buy treasuries. Take on more United States debt. Don't worry about it. We can keep the revenue stream going because we'll make sure they can't resist. It's all a psyop. So I'm going, wow, wow. So this is what happened. When William Kostrick, the guy that was at the Obama event or something in New Hampshire, had a sidearm on, they go, I can't, Chris Matthews up there from MSNBC, you know, I can't believe you bring a JD gun to him. And he wasn't, you know, animated or anything. Kostrick, he's tired. He's like, yeah, I just went. I always carried. I wasn't going to disarm for Obama. I went, you know, I'm always having a firearm. I'm doing. And he was from Scottsdale. In fact, he had been making signs. He'd been around here before making Ron Paul signs and so on. Some of the guys recognized him, knew who he was. Well, he went to the Free State Project, wants to go be free. He went to New Hampshire. So, of course, you know, he's carrying his gun. It's open carry state there. It is here. He's like, yeah, you know, word up. I carry my gun. Banned. I'm not going to disarm for him. I always carry it. So they make a big deal out of it. In fact, they go, you can't be here, can't be there. Finally, there was a pastor of a church across the street from where they're saying he couldn't be. He goes, yeah, it's private property here. That's our church. He can be there. Okay, cool. He goes, stands over there. This becomes a big deal. I mean, they amped it up. It was, I'm going, there is something. I remember this from the 90s. You know, I'm 48 years old, you know. 20 years ago, I was, what, 28? You know, so I was in my late 20s, early 30s. I was paying attention. I saw all this stuff going on. It's just rhetoric. Just amp it up. They want to create an incident. They need somebody to do something. So then they started doing this. Yeah, he's from Scottsdale. Oh, yeah, I'm you know, the southwest of Scottsdale, Arizona. Arizona, man, and the Arizona militia. Yeah, Arizona, Arizona. Vipers. Yeah, it was in Vipers, Arizona. And I go, oh, I see where this is going. They're going to amp up something. They need to. They need it. We got the peoples under control. We need more gun control. We need where the president is, they're bringing guns. Heck, that's where especially where you need to bring them. I mean, you know what the heck? You know, I'm going to say hello. You know, what did we have, V for Vendetta yesterday? You know, what was the message in there? You know, people should be afraid of their governments. Government should be afraid of their people. You know, that's a founder thing, man. You know, that's how you have freedom. But what happened was this. I called the Phoenix Police Department. They have a thing called the Confrontation Prevention Squad. Now, these are the guys that, since the early 90s, they've been going, we protest, whatever. They're there to make sure there's not some dumb police officer that goes up and starts, you know, sticking out his chest and respect my authority, and you have to, and you can't, and whatever. And then we always would sue. They do something, yeah, okay, well, you know, he acted under color authority law, this, and you know, constitutional violation here, and he's wrong, and we could too, and no, you can't outquit it, and we go to court, and we make a big deal out of every single time so that they got educated. You know, this is the relief that we would ask on our cases. You know, we go, and we want First Amendment school for the officers. We want them to understand, man, I mean, come on. So they had this confrontation prevention squad thing that would go and just make sure they didn't get in trouble. But you get to know these guys. And they're going, yeah, you can do that. Hey, you know, you shouldn't do that. Okay, don't stand. You'll stay off the street. You know, keep moving on the sidewalk, blah, 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 blah. And so we know these guys. When this stuff happened in the 90s, they were right alongside with us on this stuff going on. They knew, along with us, it was all amped up. It was all made up. They even knew some of the guys that spent years in jail. They're all out now, but, you know, they knew. So I called them and I said, you see it coming again, don't you? Yes, we do. What did we do about it? We'll talk about it when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, and how are we going to do that? You know, I tell you, the only way you're going to do it for any kind of length of time is it's, you know, how many minds can you free? Now, of course, if you want to change it for the better, you know, let's free some minds. Let's keep freeing some minds here. Here we go. Now, what happened is now you have in, you know, modern day kind of, you know, the same thing, the same circumstances that was going on in the early 90s. After Bush did the Read My Lips, No New Taxes, you have the SNL scandal going on, the same kind of banking fraud crap that's going on now, back then on a smaller scale. Then you had, you know, Federal Reserve stuff still, you know, the economy, you know, them problems, you got, you know, all kinds of stuff going on. Ross Perot's out there going, oh, you know, this debt and debt and debt, and maybe their kid's going to die in debt. Okay, and he was saying by, you know, like now, you know. About now, you know, when you hit like 2010, 2012, you know, here it comes, you know, and this is why, and it's inevitable, and baked into the cake, you know, here it comes. So at the time, you know, somebody's listening. Here you got a billionaire, you know, talking about finances. You know, you got these foreign countries and individuals going, yeah, I mean, you know, let me see, and carry the two. You know, it seems right to me. You know, Japanese know how to do math. So they had to convince them to keep, you know, whatever incentives they do. I don't know how many, you know, green fees and escorts they got them, but, you know, to get them to agree to what, because it always comes down to individuals. Yeah, that's what these G20 things are. I don't know, there's, you know, they're getting foot massages or something. So what happens is they go, all right, we need to convince these guys one way or another to keep buying our debt or we are going down. Well, they didn't want that to happen, so they convinced them whatever. Okay, account blows over, they do whatever. The Clinton administration, they don't have as big a deficit. Got a Republican House and Senate in there, and they're all fighting, outsquitted. Who gets access to the money? Well, nobody. We're not increasing spending and everything unless we get our cut and back and forth and so on. And then, you know, here comes W. Got a war going on. Oh, man, the floodgates open then. All the stuff that was on the shelves before, the Patriot Act, and so on. You would think they wrote that. You know, that big giant monster of crap, you know, in one weekend or something. It was on the shelf. You know, let's change the name, call it something. You know, so boom, here it goes. Anybody even read it? Now they're talking about before they can vote on a bill. We just had it on Freedom's Phoenix today or yesterday. That before they can vote on a bill in Congress, they have to publish it online. They're like, no! Sounds reasonable to me. Heck no. Heck, they don't even know what it is when they're voting on it, much less put it on the internet. Because what happens when you put it on, even if they vote on it, this happens here in Arizona. You'll do a bill, they pass it and so on, and anything we have to do with them, of course, in secret, because if they knew we have anything to do with as libertarians, they go, oh, hey, we vote no. Why? Because, well, libertarian touched it, okay? But what happens, we'll look at some of the senators and representatives, let us look at it. We want to look at it from legislative council when it comes out, what they approve, and we'll see what it was that you approved. And what, see, they changed the words here. They do it all the time. You know, these corrupt, our government, done. I have no faith whatsoever. None. I have it in your good nature, in us. We are the only salvation for this whole thing, is the decent, just good people. But you got to cast off this monkey that's on our back, this government thing. There's no fixing it. It's going to go. Then what? So we got to fix ourselves. You know, look at that guy in the mirror. You know, that's what, you know, so anyway, we'll get into it. So what happened was we have this legislation that, oh, one other thing I wanted to tell you about before I forgot. Inevitable that we are going to go to war with Iran. Washington Times today. It is inevitable that we go to war with Iran. Did that get picked up by everybody? No, we're going to war. And they're trying to. They're trying to distract us. They're trying to, you know, we want to go to war with her. Are you kidding me? You know, Iran's like a real country. You know, they got a lot of people with some money, and oh, by the way, China and Russia's are buddies. Oh, that'd be a good idea. Oh, not. It's just so sick. So now we're in a situation to where you start amping up the same kind of thing that was going on back then. You had enormous debt that they needed to fund. People that had the money didn't want to give it to us because they didn't feel it was a good investment. And the same thing is going on right now. So is this gun control thing going to work again? They were amping it up. I think they were going to try. I don't think it was going to work out for them. Yeah, this 450 mayors asked for. They may go ahead and, oh, no, we're not going to do that. You know, no, we never. No, what you really think Obama's going to take the guns from you. So I've been on radio programs. Matter of fact, in the next hour, Brad Friedman from Brad Blog, guest hosting for the Mike Malloy Show on Air America, he's kind of, you know, had me on. We're talking about this stuff. And he goes, do you really think he's going to, you know, I know Obama wouldn't care if I didn't have him. I can't tell you that. You know, he's not going to be crying. He's not going to be out there defending me, you know. So we'll see, because we'll bring that up again today. We're going to be talking about the Sybil Edmonds case that he's breaking, and the media is not picking this up. Sybil Edmonds, FBI translator, no corrupt congressman, big-time State Department, all this, and nobody's doing anything about it. Now, we'll talk about that. It'll be interesting. Well, what happens is, bring it back to what we're doing, we have Kostrick. They're making a big deal out of him having a gun at this New Hampshire thing. So I call the Phoenix police and I say, look, I can see where this is going. We've been through this before. I knew some of these guys. I go, they're going to amp up something. Something's going to happen in Arizona. Here it comes. They go, yeah, yeah, we feel it too. And when Obama comes Monday, this is a Thursday, you know, we're going to be, you know, careful about, I go, Obama again, he's coming again. It's like a third time, you know, just this year that Obama's coming to Arizona. I go, guy, he must love us. You know, what the heck? I go, I tell you what, I'll do my show, my morning show, live. Now, we got the remote thing, this little Comrex deal. You can do live remotes, you know, out there. It does dials into the cell phone, internet kind of thing. You know, you get internet access. So we go in there, and I do the show live. I have my 9mm firearm on, and they go, you just protect my right to be able to do it and bring firearm, make no big deal. You guys are all supporting it, then nothing happened. All of a sudden, all the Obama guys come stomping in there. All of a sudden, they're real polite. You know, they're always trying to create an incident. Well, all of a sudden, they got polite when they got like a dozen guys with firearms there, because I was just going to do it myself. Then I started reading, you know, and people talking about on the blogs, and, you know, oh, we're going to go down. I get a call from Chris, you know, one of the activists down here. He goes, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to bring my AR-15. Now, Chris is black, and I know what this is going to be. I already know what's going to happen. So I called a police officer, and I said, look, man, you know, we got a guy that's going to come down with an AR-15. And they're like, yeah, whatever. You know, it's open carry. You know, this is the way it works. Go down, no big deal. Everybody's polite. Chris gets to make his point. He's in his 20s. He goes, sooner or later, you're going to keep plundering my generation to the point that there will be resistance. That's my point. And I don't like Obama. I mean, he made a mistake of saying, I hate Obama. ooh, hate, you got a gun. That's always a good idea. You know, not. So that's why I went on CNN. They're making a big deal out of this. You just put Ernest Hancock CNN and it'll blow up all over your computer. So I go up on Rick Sanchez CNN. They're going to get me. Ooh, we're going to get him. It was staged. I'm like, everybody knew. My radio audience knew. The police knew. I go, it's more staged than you realize. We were there to make clear that the Phoenix police protect our rights here. And we are not going to succumb to this effort to do this militia attack. Oh my goodness, Arizona, we got to crack down. Go get them distracting thing that you're going to do in the same way that you did in the 90s by not the same kind of people, the very same people. Rahm Emanuel, Clinton's, and Janet Napolitano, now head of Homeland Security. I'm going, I know what you're going to do, and we're going to preempt it. No, not here. Well, what happened? MSNBC, the newspaper, everybody showing Chris with his back and the AR-15. But they didn't show that he was black because it didn't feed into their white supremacist thing. They kept saying that as the guy holding the gun is black. This next generation of revolutionaries, they color is not even, it's not an issue. I've been dealing these guys for years. These young guys, they do what? Oh yeah, you're black. I forgot. I didn't notice. I mean, they don't care. But they're trying to make this an issue. Why? Because they don't have anything else. And they need to get these guys to keep funding our debt. How do they do that? That one instance of having a young black man with an AR-15 saying that he doesn't want to be his generation be plundered and that there will eventually be resistance was the biggest blow to this effort on them. I mean, it wasn't even planned, really. I mean, he just wanted to go. You know, he's one of the guys here. He meets it. He wanted to go down with us because he was afraid. He showed up without us around him. He just jump him, tackle him, shoot him or something. So I go, no, I got him. You can go with us. And I let him know that you're coming. Don't worry about it. So we go down, spent an hour and a half, 2 hours, did the show, came back here. You know, it's all good. Of course, man, it hit the news. But you could see what was happening. They wanted to twist this. Now, who did I have on the show after that? Southern Poverty Law Center. You know, we had Heidi Byrick. She comes in. We'll have her on again. We'll get her on for you guys. We'll talk about it. Because what happened at the time, or just a week before this or two, they had already planned this. They had a big, you know, the hate groups in Arizona. We were talking about hate and hate. And for the city of Phoenix, the mayor of Phoenix had to come in and talk about all the hate. They picked out any hate crime that they had for the past decade to have some press conferences all managed. And my board op, Jet Lacey, is on vacation in New York right now. He and Drew Phillips, one of the videographers, went down there, interviewed her, talked to him. It was all packaged. They were building up to something. We know. They've done it before. They're trying to do it again. And they're going to distract you with, we got to go invade Iran. They got nukes. And what's my first thought? So, what do we prove? What do we show these guys? You better have nukes. Like South Korea, they go. I mean, North Korea, they go. Yeah, you want Polaroids? Got them right here. What are you gonna do? I'm trying to stand back there. So the thing is that you know if you don't have them, you know Saddam tried to threaten us. Go, yeah, I got nukes. I would do. You know, yeah, no, they knew he didn't really because you know if he did, they wouldn't have invaded him. You know, so I'm just we are so. In deep trouble on this, and I want to make sure that you guys understand that there's a reason for all of this, and almost always has to do with money. We'll be right back with Brad Friedman from BradBlog.com on Sabella Edmonds issue. Be right back.